Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. Today's Issues will be here till 11:30 Central Time, and we appreciate you listening to AFR, American Family Radio. We're going to talk about what's happening in the news, what's happening in the world today. That's our what we normally do here, and try to look at things through a biblical lens, if you will, a worldview lens. That's the way to put it. Fred Jackson is with me. Fred's news director. I introduced you first. Threw you off there, didn't I, Fred?
You did. I don't know if I'll recover.
in season, out of season, Fred. Got to be ready for your name to be called.
That's right.
Anyway, Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com.
Amen. Good to be here.
And Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Ed serves his official capacity as is Executive Vice President of American Family Association, and but co-host with me here on American Family
Meeting
Radio.
Attender in Chief.
You and me, you both,
got,
brother.
Yeah, I know. You got a meeting? We'll attend.
You, you know, being a leader at an organization does have its advantages, but there's also the downside, which is, as Ed says, meetings galore.
Meetings are us.
That he and I have to attend.
We have Buddy Smith.
So, you know, for some reason, our board of directors wants me to be in the know about things that are happening
yes.
here. And so I have to attend these meetings.
I know. I got to know what's going on.
And well, I want to thank you guys for doing that.
I think the assistant to the president should just simply attend all our meetings. Wow. And then report back.
And that would be none other than Walker Wildman.
Yikes.
Walker, Ed and I are designated you to go to all our meetings for us, okay?
And do I have to take notes?
And report back to us.
Oh, yeah.
Copious. I don't even know what that word means, but I've always heard it used along with notes, so I'm throwing it in there.
Copious?
Isn't it copious, Ed?
Copious notes. That's right.
Voluminous.
Doesn't that mean detailed?
Abundant.
Yes, detailed.
It means bunches.
Bunches. In Canada, it means a whole bunch of notes. All right. Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
What shall thou be doing, Walker, on the Facebook page of Today's Issues?
Thou are live streaming on Facebook.
You're talking third person now?
I am.
First person.
Today's Issues Facebook page, we're live streaming there. And you can watch the show, comment on the show, share your thoughts only if they're positive. No, I'm kidding. You can share critical thoughts. Let's just be civil on the Facebook page. And also, all the news stories will be posted there, so you can read more in depth on the news stories.
You can share critical comments, but we'll just delete them.
That's right.
The choice is yours.
Right. Yeah. They need to be rare.
Mm-hmm. But why don't we for the whole first segment of the show, let's all talk in the third person. Wouldn't that be something?
And somebody tunes in 10 minutes from
Bob,
now.
Senator Bob Dole used to do that, bless his heart.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He'd be doing a press conference, and I'll tell you one thing Bob Dole's not going to do, because I talk to Bob Dole every day, and Bob Dole told me, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when people.
SNL skit on that. All right, so check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show live there, or you can comment. And access the information that we talk about here on access the information that Tim Wildman talks about on this program. Isn't that right, Tim? That's right.
Well,
Tim.
Ed Vitagliano certainly agrees with you.
All right. I 6 months ago was the first time I ever heard the word dossier.
You just need to watch more spy films, spy movies.
DOSSIER was gathered on President Trump, right?
Yes.
What is this? What is a DOSSIER, Fred?
Well, it's kind of a folder, a file, a investigation report, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And the breaking news on this, now, we've known about this dossier for a while.
Is that what they call it in Canada?
A dossier.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit of French there.
Okay.
But the breaking news on all that today, come out in the last 24 hours, is that the Hillary Clinton Democrat camp paid for developing this dossier. Now, back up a little bit. It was actually going back to the primaries.
So it wasn't a positive report.
No.
On President Trump.
No.
That they paid for.
No.
Okay. They wanted dirt.
They wanted
gotcha.
Dirt. Yeah, professional dirt diggers. But it was Republicans that actually started this way back when there were 17 candidates for the Republican to run for the president. And an unknown Republican got all this going. And then when it was finally decided that it was going to be Donald Trump candidate, then somewhere along the way, Hillary Clinton's camp got involved.
No.
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
Because whoever the Republican is, and we don't know at this point, that initiated this process, they backed out. Because backed we don't want them.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be our candidate. Like him or not, he's going to be our candidate.
Right.
Yeah, we figured that's the reasoning there. But Hillary Clinton was anxious to find out because there was a belief that there may have been some connection between the Russians and the Trump camp. And thus, they got involved. And
don't campaigns, am I interrupting your story here? Are you through with that?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Well, don't campaigns look for dirt on everybody all the time? I mean, is this a shocking revelation about the world of politics in America today?
Well, I don't think it's shocking. And in our story meeting, Walker raised some good points. I'd like him to chime in here. But I will say this. Now, this is a little convoluted, this yes. story, and Ed is somewhat confused by this. But the firm that was being paid was Fusion, mm-hmm. right? Fusion mm-hmm. GPS. Mm-hmm. They hired a former British intelligence officer, Christopher Steele, mm-hmm. to write this. And he, my understanding is, from the articles and stuff and from our story meeting, is that what this former British intelligence officer did was go to Russia
yes.
to try to find dirt on Trump.
Yes.
So I just find it's
why don't you go to New York?
Well, I guess they probably thought that Russian intelligence was doing their due diligence, collecting information on possible U.S. presidential candidates. But to your point, yes, political, you know, Richard Nixon had his famous Dirty Tricks, you know, group. But it's ironic, at least, that the Clinton campaign went to Russia, you know, via this Fusion GPS mm-hmm. to find information to affect the U.S. election.
Yes.
That's what they've been complaining that,
right.
you know.
And, so who colluded with the
yes,
Russians?
A little bit of.
Well, and the other thing, the whole Russian thing didn't come out until after Hillary Clinton lost.
Right.
I mean, that's when this thing exploded.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Democrats had this in their pocket. But I think there's another link here that this dossier was also being used by the FBI, possibly, to deal with the unmasking issue, which is another big part of this story.
It's nuts. This is getting, nuts.
And here's the allegation, is that the Obama administration got some names. And then started, what is it, over 200 people requests for unmasking.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go to the FISA court.
And this was Powers, right?
Yes,
Samantha Powers,
the U.S. representative on the United Nations. And that was that came out a couple of weeks ago. Remember, there were, what, over 200 requests with her name on it.
Yes.
Which is almost impossible, and it's a federal crime to use a request to unmask somebody under somebody's name who's not even involved. So this is like, you know, this is like the exploding balloon story. It just gets mm-hmm. bigger and bigger and bigger. But yesterday's breaking news was that confirmation. We now have an email or a couple of emails that have confirmed that Hillary Clinton's Democratic Party supporters hired this firm after the Republicans were through with it, hired this firm to get quotation mark dirt on Donald Trump.
I wonder who broke this story.
BuzzFeed. And that's the point I was going to get into is BuzzFeed, which, look, they're not a I don't go to BuzzFeed for my news, okay, for my accurate news. I go even I respect the Washington Post, New York Times, at least for facts more than I do BuzzFeed. But even BuzzFeed said the day that they released this dossier, they said, quote, this is unverified and potentially unverifiable. So they said, look, here's this information, but we can't back it up. But we're going to report on it as fact, but we can't back it up. And then the FBI even said...
Talking about dirt on Trump.
Yes, the whole dossier that the BuzzFeed broke.
Back when he was a candidate.
Right.
Okay.
They broke it in, and this was January 11th, so he was president-elect.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Mr. Walker, just to say, what the worst accusations I read were that that President Trump supposedly went to Russia, had a whole bunch of prostitutes while he was over there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times he went over there. Again, this is all alleged. This is all speculation. It's all been discredited for the most part. And he participated in things that we can't mention on Christian radio.
Right.
That activities with these prostitutes, supposedly.
Yeah.
None of that was ever proven to be true. In fact,
BuzzFeed said it's unverifiable.
People quit reporting on it. And you know if the liberal news media quit reporting on it, as much as they hate President Trump, then candidate Trump, they would have just pounded that thing every day. Mm-hmm. But they even gave up on it, quit, because it was just slanderous, dirty, unprovable, nothing. But what we're saying here is that Hillary Clinton's campaign now and the Democratic National Committee paid for this thing.
Yeah, and they paid for it, which when you get into it, paying for political dirt is it happens often.
Right.
And Republicans do it all the time.
Right.
But when you pay for political dirt, you expect it to be factual, truthful information that's usually against a candidate. Not unverifiable, we don't know if this happened, but hey, we're going to say it anyways. And so, but the Clintons are they've gone so low, it does not surprise me the least bit. What surprises me is this. After the election, the FBI agreed to pay Steele, which was the former British intelligence officer who did all this research. They agreed to pay the British intelligence officer with the last name of Steele to continue gathering intelligence about Trump and Russia. But the Bureau pulled out after the arrangement became public between the British intelligence officer and the FBI. So not a political campaign paying for political dirt. The Federal Bureau of Investigation's paying this guy for stuff that's so slanderous and is unverifiable, but they were compensating him to keep digging.
Who was the FBI director when this was
Mr. James Comey.
Are you serious?
Yes, dead serious.
This just the muck just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Let me tell you, just a general observation. Ed, you mentioned this morning at our meeting about the show. There seems to be so much corruptness in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. that there's too many powerful people involved that can protect their friends that nothing ever gets punished.
Right.
In a real substantial way. That's just what it seemed like to me.
Mm-hmm. They can continue to get away with this stuff.
Stall.
Yeah.
Answer. Lois Lerner plead the Fifth Amendment. Mm-hmm. Never to be heard from again. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Throw it into a congressional investigation that just becomes political.
Yeah.
You know, one side says it's just it's just Democrats going after Republicans, Republicans going after Democrats. Mm-hmm. But this is serious stuff here. That we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, and then the second troubling thing is, so you have the FBI colluding with this discredited British intelligence officer, and so they're paying him for this stuff. Why they're paying him for that information, I have no idea. Senator John McCain, who got into it oftentimes with President Trump during the election cycle, Senator John McCain found out about this dossier, the existence of it, and he decided he would get one of his aides, one of his confidants, to fly over to Russia or to Britain and pick up the dossier and deliver it back to the FBI. What business a U.S. senator has doing picking up dossiers on a president-elect to deliver to the FBI and have a one-on-one dinner with James Comey?
I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Well,
Tim Wildman, I'll tell you why. Tim, tell us why.
Ed Battagliano would love to hear what Tim Wildman has to say.
This is not a groundbreaking observation. This is just me talking, and I have not interviewed Senator McCain nor his assistant. Do I know the motive of their heart?
Right.
Okay. But I would just say Senator John McCain did not want Donald Trump to become president. He would have rather had Hillary Clinton be president. And so he wanted to participate, if he could, in the takedown of then-candidate Trump, because he and Trump don't like each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump said some...
Trump dissed him.
On a couple of occasions. He said that he wasn't a real war hero.
Right.
Because he'd been captured. And then wasn't it John McCain's wife that he insulted? I know he did Ted Cruz, but didn't he say something about John McCain's wife? I'll look that up.
But somebody talks about my wife and like that, I wouldn't like him either. But I'm just saying that's the reason. When people are insulted, they get. We all are human. And we can get defensive and even vindictive. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that John McCain, Senator McCain's name is involved in this, he hates Donald Trump, and he hated him then, and he wanted to see him took down. So he said to his top lieutenant, whoever in his office, "Hey, go over there to Russia and get this dirt on Trump, so we can use it to end his campaign." Now, do I know that, what I just said, for absolute fact? No, I don't. But I'm just going on. What other reasons can you have?
Right, right.
Okay. Now, I'm sure Senator McCain, he did answer questions about this when it came out. He said something to the effect that I just wanted to be best interest of our country, right, or something like that. It was a patriotic duty of his, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman. And Fred Jackson, and no, you can't make this stuff up, people. You just can't make it up. I mean, it's, you know, these political thrillers by Tom Clancy and John Grisham and all these great writers, they don't carry a candle in comparison to reality in real life here, evidently, with the stories we've been talking about the last few weeks. Go ahead, Fred. What's next?
Well, to spin out of your phrase there, in the best interest of the country, that was kind of the theme yesterday from Senator Jeff Flake.
Another Arizona Republican senator who doesn't like President Trump.
Who doesn't like President Trump. Now, the polls have shown that he's going down to defeat in the primary back home in Arizona. But yesterday, he didn't talk about that. He got up 15-20-minute speech in the Senate. Basically, to join with John McCain in castigating, calling down, without ever mentioning President Trump's name, but talking about just the politics in this country has taken such a nasty turn. I cannot be part of the conversations anymore. Well, rather than me describe, let's have a little listen to what Senator Flake had to say on the Senate floor yesterday.
There are times when we must risk our careers in favor of our principles. Now is such a time. It must also be said that I rise today with no small measure of regret. Regret because of the state of our disunion. Regret because of the disrepair and destructiveness of our politics. Regret because of the indecency of our discourse. Regret because of the coarseness of our leadership. We must stop pretending that the degradation of our politics and the conduct of some in our executive branch are normal. They are not normal.
That's Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona. Now, what he was doing there was ultimately leading. He was criticizing President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was talking about right there. But because he and President Trump have been into it, because he doesn't support President Trump's agenda.
That's right.
Right, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so that he and President Trump have been into it. Now, but what you're saying is he was using yesterday to also announce that he would not be running for re-election.
That's right.
And he's been trailing in the Republican primary, which was to take place. Is that next year? When was that? When is the
Jeff
primary?
Flake, 2018. Well, it'd be early 2018, so maybe in August.
Spring.
Mm-hmm.
whenever.
Spring, early summer.
And he's trailing in the Republican primary, even as an incumbent in Arizona, so mm-hmm. he was likely to go down to defeat. He saw that and decided he would just not run. And so in with that in mind, he decided to give this speech there on the Senate floor. So are you saying he was disingenuous with his remarks, in your opinion, yesterday? He sounded pretty serious, pretty sober there.
Well, here's the thing, and just to wrap this up here, what he didn't talk about is that his support back home has gone away. The people of Arizona who put right. him in power don't want him back there again. All the polls are showing.
Okay.
But he decided to blame what's going on politically in this country all on President Trump. It's all President Trump's fault. And that President Trump is dividing the country. You know, Flake wrote a book in the last year denouncing Donald Trump. All over him, has a divider in chief, et cetera, et cetera. Yesterday during his speech, Senator Flake said, I am pro-free trade. I am pro-immigration. Donald Trump is all for trade, only he said, as the election campaign, I want a better deal for America. Donald Trump is not opposed to immigration. This is where it comes in, the half-truths. What Jeff Flake is talking about, he's okay with amnesty. He's okay with illegal immigrants in this country. He also complained in the book that Donald Trump is anti-Muslim. And Jeff Flake said, as a Mormon, he has been good friends with, and he drew, I'm not sure what all the background was. He says, I've been good friends with Muslims and I've spoken in mosques, et cetera, et cetera. So yesterday in this speech, Jeff Flake sounded a whole lot like a Democrat. It could have been Hillary Clinton up making the same kind of speech. But now you have Bob Corker of Tennessee, you have John McCain, and you have Jeff Flake, and they have decided to declare war, these three Republicans, on Donald Trump. And they're blaming Trump for all the discord in this country. But can I add one thing, and I know you guys want to discuss this. I don't think the country's listening to this. Yesterday, when all of this was going on, there was another huge increase in the Dow Jones. I just brought a paper in here, a story from this morning. Housing starts in this country just broke through the highest in 10 years. Hmm. Unemployment stats lowest in, what, 40 years? The rest of the country is optimistic. They're mm-hmm. not listening to this banter that's going on in Washington, this anti-Trump verbal warfare. They're not listening to the mainstream media. The country's economy is booming. People are optimistic. And they're going by all of this stuff, the American people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested.
Well, mm-hmm. let me just say, first of all, that President Trump and candidate Trump, he caused some of the animosity, you know, from John McCain. By the way, let me clean up a little mess. It was just Ted Cruz's wife that he insulted. I for some reason, thought that he had done this also for John McCain's wife. But anyway, he kind of started that off with John McCain. However, I think what's going on, I've been reading some stuff, and we got the break coming up here with Jeff Flake, reading some interviews he's done with the press and stuff concerning his book and all. There is a war going on for the soul of the Republican Party, just like there's a war going on for the soul of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump appears to be the lightning rod for the quote-unquote moderates in the Republican Party who don't like conservatives.
Yep.
Because Jeff Flake had some harsh things to say about conservatives and quote-unquote ideological purity and all this kind of stuff. And I think that is what's driving a lot of what's going on in terms of the hostility.
The listening there to that clip from Senator Flake, he's saying basically he's getting out because he doesn't want to participate in uncivil behavior any longer. And maybe it's not quite, that's not the whole story. We'll be back after the break.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries.
We had an election last year, and it was between a globalist and a nationalist. Having said that, the globalists are trying to co-opt him and bring him over into the globalist world.
We'll also get an up-close view on the latest in the news from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It's so easy to get caught up in all the things we're doing for God with our resources and go spiritually brain dead in the normal course of our everyday lives, ignoring the spiritual condition of those we meet in brief moments of spontaneous interaction that may well have been orchestrated by God. All of us have these precious moments in time with clerks and waiters and operators and people in waiting rooms who are desperate for God and looking for someone to tell them He's real. And you can do that so easy by simply loving on them, telling them God blessed you with energy and sincerity. That tells them two things, that you're a good person and that you're a good person because you're a Christian. If all of us who are Christians would only do that, we'd have revival in America. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Trick-or-treaters are about to descend on the fruited plain dressed as superheroes and cartoon characters and monsters of all sorts. And that has universities across the country in full crisis mode, gearing up to provide counseling to college students who might be triggered by an offensive Halloween costume. Some schools are posting guidelines about unacceptable costumes like Mexican sombreros and Indian headdresses or any form of blackface, warning that students could be punished for politically incorrect costumes. Notre Dame banned Disney-themed characters like Aladdin and Pocahontas. And the University of Florida announced around-the-clock counseling for anyone who might be triggered by a guy dressed like Trump's border wall. You know, the other night I was watching Food Network, the Halloween bake-off. One of the hosts, a person of color, was dressed in whiteface. I wasn't sure if I should be triggered. Trick-or-treat, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Huh? Tim Wildman says, welcome back to Today's Issues. Don't you, Tim? Sure do. Abe Hamilton will be with us momentarily. He has no idea what we've been talking about the last 30 minutes or why I've been talking to the third person. But we're going to keep Abraham Hamilton III in the green room for another minute or two. Green room being in the chair next to Fred waiting.
No snacks, no drinks.
No. I got to tell you something, guys. I don't mean to get too personal here, but I spent 3 or 4 months in early part of this year getting back in my 36 pants. Okay. I got a point to where I'm going with this.
Okay. I hope so. I'm glad that's all you had to say. We really jumped here.
Okay.
Wow.
I was born on 38 and I was going and, I said to myself, you know, you're not going to yield to that yet. Maybe when you get to be 65,
can't give in.
You don't care anymore. Go ahead, but not now. So, and now we got somebody out here putting cupcakes out here in our face.
Ed Vitagliano knows who did that.
Was that be?
It was your son, Wesley Wildman.
Not Walker, but Wesley.
No, Wesley.
Who
those
got him?
Cupcakes are out there. We had an event
in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yes,
last night.
Jackson, Tennessee, and we had some great desserts
from the old country store.
Old country store,
Park Shaw.
You know, donated
the desserts,
and I have to say, I had a strawberry cupcake and a chocolate cupcake last night.
You did?
Of course, I had no supper, so that's
okay.
That
offset
was my supper.
It.
I offset it, and they were phenomenal. So
that helps a lot, Ed. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
I just have to pass by them about every time I walk out of this.
They
house.
Were unbelievable. but don't try
woe to those. Woe to the person who does the tempting, Fred.
Whoa! Whoa! Woe to the person.
Whoa!
Woe to the person
doing
says
the tempting.
Tim.
Whoa, Ed.
I'm wanting to grab about two of those cupcakes.
You want to try them? You want to try them?
Ed, I got my devil horns on there.
Get them behind me.
Folks, not that there's anything funny about the devil. No. Please, don't email
me. You're a cupcake tempter, you are. So anyway, I have not eaten one, but there's somebody needs to close the lid.
Oh, stop your whining. Good grief.
Okay, just
some of us like cupcakes. Okay.
All right. So you can see the compassion in Ed's heart for the people, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he's on our staff here.
That's right.
Compassion. That is my middle name.
Compassion Ed.
Pastor Ed.
Classic Italian compassion being coming out.
Well, I'll tell you what. When we leave the studio, close your eyes. Okay. I will help you. I'll walk you
will
past
you walk
them.
With me?
I'll walk you. I'll escort
so far,
you.
I've
so you don't have
them.
To look.
Okay. I hope by the time we get through this show, somebody else has eaten them.
There were a lot of cupcakes there.
They look awesome.
They were awesome. I'm just telling you. Okay, I'm sorry. I keep doing
it. All right,
it.
Let's get back to the reason we're here, and that's to do a talk program here on American Family Radio. We'll be here till 11:30 Central Time on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Walker, tell us what we're doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
We're live streaming on Facebook, and I found it humorous that Scott spoke in third person or commented in third person.
So we got our commenters talking in third person?
Yeah, Scott commented and said, Scott is glad to be on the show. So I told him that Today's Issues is glad he's here.
Somebody will start posting pictures of cupcakes in a minute. Watch them.
Awesome cupcakes.
All right.
Did I say that again?
Awesome. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News. Fred, before we go to Abraham Hamilton III, for listeners who want to access the news, we have a news service.
Mm-hmm.
We mention it, but we don't talk about exactly what we do. So tell folks about it.
Well, as part of American Family Radio, we have our own news service, and we've been at it now for about 20 years. So we provide newscasts on our radio network at the top of the clock, Monday through Friday. And a lot of other, actually Christian stations across the country have started to use our newscasts. So we're excited about that.
Great.
And then we have onenewsnow.com. Onenewsnow.com is our website. So basically, much of the content on there is taken from our radio news stories. And we have a team over there that puts them into print form. And so you go to that site. And if you want to get a summary of the top stories from One News Now each day.
This is what I want you to do, folks. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this program, then you want to know what's going on every day. Mm-hmm. So once a day, Monday through Friday, we will send you if they go to onenewsnow.com, you can subscribe to this. It doesn't cost anything. We don't take your email and sell it to other people, anything like that. You just simply get a daily news brief sent to your inbox once a day, Monday through Friday, and it includes the headlines of the news, and it comes from a Christian perspective.
That's right.
OneNewsNow.com. So what do they need to do to sign up for this?
Go to the site, OneNewsNow.com. Over on the right-hand side, upper right-hand side, there's a little button there that says, sign up for our daily news brief. You click on that button, subscribe, and you are away to the races.
Fill it up. How many news stories do you guys include in that news brief?
It varies each day, but you get a bunch of the stories that our reporters have done. Then you have the latest Associated Press headlines, and you have AP videos.
Okay.
So it's not going to take you that long to go through it, but you will be informed of what's happening in your world, folks, when you get that summary each day.
Okay, so go to – how many people do subscribe now?
Oh, my goodness. It's well over 200,000, I believe it is. It's the last count.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's probably more than listen to this show.
I hope not. I think highly of our show.
Well, I know. There's Walker Wildman. You think highly of his own show.
Yeah.
So that's great. Over 200, that's impressive. That's wonderful.
It really is. And it's a great-looking website, too, for those who visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to onenewsnow.com. That's onenewsnow.com. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. We had talked earlier about Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona announcing yesterday that he would not be seeking re-election. There was a Republican primary coming up in Arizona, and he was trailing the challenger there.
24 points.
I'd say that's a beatdown right there.
For an incumbent.
Yeah.
That's a beatdown.
You may be shocked that President Trump responded to all of this morning.
Well, let's introduce Abe Hamilton. Okay. Abe, good morning to you, brother.
My name. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm just chuckling at cupcakes, third person and all.
Thank you for coming out of the green room.
Abe is a host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon here on American Family Radio at 5:05 Central Time. So if you make sure you join Abe this afternoon. What are you going to be talking about this afternoon?
Well, I posted on Facebook yesterday, and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, about Jeff Flake saying, no mas. And it's pretty remarkable that we are witnessing the nullification of incumbency status and superior funding mechanisms, where people are saying they're crying uncle and realizing that those things are not buying off the American people as they used to be. And so this is a remarkable moment that's happening in our country. And I, for one, am grateful for it. And I pray that it continues.
All right, Fred, what were you going to say now?
President Trump responded? He responded. He gets up early.
Yes. He's always so reserved, though.
Gets up early. I'm telling you, guy goes to sleep at midnight, wakes up at 4, and sleeps in his suit.
And would you believe he was very gracious in his response to Senator Flake's speech?
I would not believe that.
You would not believe that? Well, let me read it for you.
Okay. What did he say? Yeah, because he beat him.
Well, in reference to Senators Jeff Flake and Bob Corker of Tennessee.
Doesn't that say bye-bye, Flakey?
No, but could just as easily have.
You're really close.
Frosted Flakes.
This is what he said about Senators Flake and Corker. Trump says both are not running for election because, quote, they had zero chance of being elected. And he adds, now act so hurt and wounded.
No, wait a minute. You're making what now? Read that over again.
Read it now on onenewsnow.com. Onenewsnow.com. Go ahead.
Let me see that now. Okay, so it says President Trump commented on Twitter Wednesday. That's today, right?
Today, this morning.
Okay. About Senators Jeff Flake of Arizona and Bob Corker of Tennessee. Trump says both are not running for re-election because, quote, they had zero chance of being elected. This is so foreign to our usual political
discourse.
Know what I'm saying?
Measured. Everything's measured.
Swamp talk. Everything's measured. I mean, for better or for worse, President Trump just says it like he feels it, I guess. They had zero chance of being elected. Now act so hurt and wounded.
The only thing missing is na 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 na.
Well, he called it right before that, or last night he called. Or this was before the luncheon yesterday, where he went to Capitol Hill and ate lunch with the GOP senators. He tweeted little Bob Corker with LIDDLE, little Bob Corker. Before he went to lunch with him,
he didn't do that.
He did do that, little Bob Corker.
I wouldn't do that. That's personal. But anyway, that's President.
And President,
but they attack
Trump.
Him too. See, they attack him.
They
see,
start
I mean,
this.
I would say, you would say, well, a president should be above the fray. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. But I'm telling you, if you attack President Trump, he's going to attack you back.
Yeah.
And like you said yesterday, it's going to be New York. It's going to be New York style.
Yeah,
because
you go to New York and you're waiting in line at a restaurant,
right?
And you say, "Hey, that tie is stupid," to the guy standing next to you that you don't
that
know.
That you don't even know.
Yeah, he's gonna tell you use some choice language, and you're probably gonna be rolling on the floor like a couple of sixth graders in a fight. And so this is what happens when you make fun of Donald Trump,
right?
You just said, "Hey, your tie is stupid, and I think you're ugly." Well, you know what? Over the table you go with President Trump, fists flying. You don't like that? Don't ask for it.
Yesterday he tweeted, Corker couldn't get elected dog catcher in Tennessee.
I know.
And President Trump wonders why no one's going to come to his birthday party.
But you know,
the thing
about this is, would it be nice, would it be right if this was not going on, all the back and forth, personal insults and stuff? Yeah, that would be nice. But these guys, these jokes in Washington, these senators and congressmen who have
some,
been up there
some.
For, who have been up there for 20, if what I'm saying doesn't apply to them, then they shouldn't take it.
Career politicians.
If they've been up there for 20, 30 years and they haven't gotten anything done and they campaign on one thing and do another when they get up there,
and they're
giving money to organizations who kill babies, I don't care if he tweets name and name calls.
Right.
You fix your mess, and then I'll get on to Trump for his mess.
Right there. Now, that it's rubbing off on Walker. That's the New York attitude. Right there. No. I don't care. You're killing babies.
Right.
Yeah, you know where you're going, double hockey sticks, and I don't care what you say.
Well, and this is what the American people like about this.
Yeah.
You know, they like the honesty. They may choose different words, but they like the honesty. President Trump this morning, whenever he got up and did this, was speaking from his heart, and he was blunt.
And it's tender.
Unlike another president might say about Jeff Sessions or Jeff Flake's speech yesterday, you know, he's a fine man. He has served his constituent, Arizona, and we wish he and his family well. I hope they have a long life.
Publicly, that's what they'd say.
That's what they would say. But everybody knows. At the dinner table that night, at the restaurant in Washington, they would be saying this about Jeff Flake.
Right.
So they want honesty.
I don't know.
They've
I'm torn sometimes between bluntness and manners,
No, I definitely think. But,
you know what I'm saying?
But it is a crazy time in American politics.
Right.
You know, there was a time in America's history where they had fistfights in the Congress.
Yes.
I mean, we think that this is a brand new phenomenon.
Right.
It's not. We just have entered a rough and tumble period in American politics because the country is intensely polarized.
It is.
And there are bad feelings on both sides. And these two worldviews are mutually exclusive. And everyone knows, ultimately, this is a zero-sum game.
Absolutely.
One side or the other is winning.
That's
this
true.
Thing.
You're true. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump... The attraction of President Trump to a lot of Americans is that he does tell it like it is, so to speak. Not so to speak. He just tells it like it is. And he at least has, he sees it. And number two, as we mentioned here several times the last couple of days, if you go after him or attack him, he is going to go after you. And in the case of Bob Corker, the senator from Tennessee, Abe, And now the incumbent, who's an incumbent, and now the incumbent senator from Arizona, both Republicans, establishment guys, they're beat because they're resigning because they don't want to face a Trump challenger, so to speak, in a primary and lose.
Right.
So it's bowing out. So President Trump has two scalps there. And he didn't even have to fight for it much. To your point about the war inside in both parties, the war inside the Democrat Party is who can be most communist. who can out communist the other one. In the Republican Party, it's President Trump's vision of with the things he wants to do with the tax cut and tax cuts and getting pro business and those kinds of things, and what the more establishment types want to do, and that is maintain status quo and keep the lobbyists happy and special interest groups happy and those kinds of things. President Trump's not really not interested in that so much.
Right, yeah, the K Street gravy train.
Yeah.
I think you're right, and it's interesting that, as I stated earlier, it's for incumbents to bow out even before a primary.
I know.
It's
unheard of.
It's unheard of, and I think it shows the growing chasm between the American people, and particularly in this particular instance, Republican primary voters and establishmentarians who've been in Congress all these years, because it's being revealed. The American people are coming to grips with the terms that the swamp is a bipartisan institution, and it may be later, but it's becoming evident that there are lots of Republicans that fight to the death to maintain the status quo. So you have these states that President Trump won pretty handily, and that the primary voters are indicating that they would not support these establishmentarians versus real conservatives, and then that they're bowing out. And so then my question becomes, will this have any spillover into any of those other states like Indiana, North Dakota? Will this have any impact in Missouri and some of those other states where they have Democrat incumbents, but the states were won by President Trump by a pretty large margin?
I'll tell you something to watch here with Roy Moore having won the Republican primary in Alabama, and now he faces a Democrat in December, the special election.
Yeah, December 12th.
But should Roy Moore win, as is predicted, although, you know, maybe it's, some say that race is tightening, mm-hmm. others say no. But if Roy Moore should hold on and win that in Alabama, and if the what's the lady's name in Arizona?
Kelly Ward, Dr. Kelly Ward.
Dr. Kelly Ward, who she's the one that was challenging Jeff Flake.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
From his right. Mm-hmm. She's a Tea Party candidate type.
Yes,
Tea Party,
right.
Right, conservative, very conservative, mm-hmm. right? Am I right?
Correct, yes. That's
okay.
Correct.
So if she wins, I don't know who her opponent would be on the Democrat side. And then you've got Bob Corker and Marsha Blackburn, who's been our guest many times here on this program, is a congresswoman from mm-hmm. Central Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And she's projected, I think, as the Republican nominee there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those would be three people to add to Ted Cruz's lunch table with Mike Lee, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Though that's you're sending a message to Washington in much the same way President Trump's election sent a message mm-hmm. to Washington, and that is that people are wanting to send people to Washington, not for status quo,
right,
but to get some things done that President Trump promised in his campaign, which can't be done, which these guys, Senator Flake, for example, Senator Corker, for example, don't want to get done. Mm-hmm. So they're out, and these guys are in. And anyway, it's just a very, I think that's, it would be a more conservative-looking Senate should the three people I've just...
Yeah, and another thing is it's been reported and said the past week or two that by Senator McConnell and others that, well, you know, Steve Bannon and his clique are just causing a bunch of mayhem, and they're trying to divide the party. This is bad for the country. We need to focus on general elections and keeping the Republican majority. But here's the thing. Primaries are primaries for a reason. It's a chance for the American people mm-hmm. to pick between two, mm-hmm. three, four different people mm-hmm. on a party platform. And right. and so their candidates are running in the primaries. Why can't we run candidates in the primaries?
Right.
And also, Mitch McConnell has said, my goal is to crush conservative candidates.
Yeah, he said it like that.
He said it, quote, like that. My goal with the Senate leadership pack is to crush conservative candidates.
I got to see that, Walker.
Okay, I've got
pull
the
it
sword.
Up.
I got the sword.
I don't think he used the word
it.
Conservative. Okay. I would be shocked if he used the word
right,
conservative. Because he would
see.
Say himself he's a conservative. But
okay, I'll get the
I'm
source.
Not calling you a liar. Tim Wildman right. is not calling Walker Wildman a liar. Is Evan Tagliano? Are you going to weigh in? You're going to sit there and act neutral.
Listen,
Switzerland.
This is from the Washington Times.
Ed Vitagliano just tries to stay out of these kinds of
right.
things.
This is from the Washington Times in 2014 during those heated primaries. Senate mm-hmm. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell vowed any Tea Party candidates challenging establishment Republicans in the 2014 midterms elections would not just fail, but fail miserably. He said, quote, I think we're going to crush them everywhere, end quote.
Okay. My point is, I know I'm splitting hairs here a little bit. He didn't use the word conservatives, and that's what you used. But Tea Party supplants the word conservatives. That's what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
We all know Tea Party is conservative to the right of the establishment, and Mitch McConnell, the establishment's king, I guess, in the minds
right.
of many people, said he was going to crush the Tea Party types.
Yeah, and then you wonder why there's division in our party.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. You're listening to Today's Issues, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else you got, Fred Jackson?
Well, here comes another story. There were about three major stories yesterday. This one, a smoking gun email reveals Obama DOJ blocked conservative groups from settlement funds. GOP law. Now, what are we talking about here? Remember, Eric Holder was Attorney General of the United States. They started going after firms, banks in particular, that they say were unjust in what they charged in the way of interest rates for home buyers. And they went to court with them. And there were multi-million dollar settlements with these big organizations. What the story says is that Eric Holder took this money that was approved by a judge, took this money and put it in a slush fund. That's not Eric Holder's terminology. That's what journalists are calling it. Put it in a slush fund and then handed it out to groups that were friendly and supported the Democratic Party's platform. And did not.
That's legal? You can do that?
In this story, it says when it came to conservative groups, they didn't get a smell. Now, that's what the story is saying.
This is akin to, Abe, let me give you my observation, and Abe, if you would comment on this, what he's just. So we're talking about, this is akin to, let's say, the local police force collecting speeding ticket fines and then doling them out to groups, doling the money they received out from those fines to groups. It seems like to me that could go into, that should go to the coffers of the government. Or if the government's fining. Now, what do you think about this, Abe? So he gave it. So Eric Holder gave all this money that he, the Justice Department collected, and gave it all to a bunch of liberal groups. Basically, yeah. That's what happened.
And but was, refused to give any to conservatives.
Refused to give any.
And what was the settlement for? What was the subject of the settlements? The legal action that led to the settlements.
The story is that there were groups that were lending money. Banks, I believe it was lending money. I'm just trying to get one of the companies here so that you've got an idea. But anyway, there were companies that involved with giving mortgages. Interest rates were high. I'm summarizing. I'm keeping it as brief as possible. And so there were court settlements. The DOJ set out to punish
these organizations. And they got settlements.
And they got settlements.
And all that money, the settlement money, was put in a slush fund. Mm-hmm. The slush fund was the money that Eric Holder and the Justice Department collected from these going after these companies.
Yes.
And then they doled it out to
whoever he wanted to?
Well, to liberal 501c3.
And a judge upheld this practice.
Liberal charities, as it were. Mm-hmm. Who were some of the... That just seems like that should not be... Yeah. It's right here.
Yeah, no, I this is the first time hearing of this story. Right. That is clearly illegal. How did he do that and get away with it? And you said a court upheld that?
A judge upheld that money going to the
You should know better than anybody, Abe, that the judges decide.
Yeah, because the whole idea of a slush fund went under Ronald Reagan. What the Democrats and the media went crazy. Remember that there was the accusation of a slush fund, and that money was from that slush fund was used to support and send weapons to the Contras in Nicaragua. That slush fund was no good then, but it's okay.
This
now.
All came about yesterday. It was Congressman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia who made this announcement. Let me read just a little bit of this.
You got 30 seconds.
All right. Eric Holder was U.S. Attorney General. Justice Department allowed prosecutors to strike agreements compelling big companies to give money to outside groups not connected to their cases to meet settlement burdens.
So they gave it to them directly?
Yes.
So it's more like Eric Holder is coordinating the settlement as opposed to the money being transferred to the DOJ, then the DOJ distributing. So this is what's happening. So the DOJ filed this lawsuit against these companies in relationship to the housing crisis in 2007.
Yeah.
But the DOJ then says, if you'll pay this money out, then we will dismiss our lawsuit against you.
Yes.
And the companies say, green light, we'll pay Greenpeace and this group this group.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
That is not illegal, but it is unethical action.
Yeah. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.